Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Oh my God!
He's been newly emboldened by the quotation mark success of his Justice League fucking redux. And it's like, oh yes, 2.5 hours for a fucking zombie movie.
It's a real bare bones zombie movie, but.
Well, it's a real bare bones. Never mind. That's next week's episode.
That's next week.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There Podcast, episode 310. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. This is Matty ding dong.
This is Rhett. Is that loud enough? This is Rhett.
When did you start doing the Matty ding dong thing?
It's
been like a year, right?
Probably. Since I brought it back on Discord. I mean, like, it's been around since 2008. But like I never really used it until like probably a year ago.
Okay.
I've never really used you till about a year ago.
It's been about 2 or 3 years, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
cool.
Shit.
Wait, so how you been?
That's kind of cool.
I'm actually doing real good. It's going to be real weird for Rhett because I'm actually in a good mood again. So he's going to be like.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah. It's weird. You seem happy and fulfilled.
It was rather disturbing.
I bet. It felt weird for me too.
But then we talked about it in the parking structure outside for an hour.
We found out why he's so happy.
Why?
I'm not gonna. Should I do it?
Oh no, don't do it. We don't want him. He wasn't happy last night.
He wasn't. Yeah, he was upset.
Don't.
Okay,
don't.
I won't. But I wanted to. Yeah. That would be a perfect spot for that bit.
I actually have a spot saved up in my head later. But I'll have to refrain from doing it then, but it's still going to be awkward.
Listeners, just know, just think real hard about what we might be talking about, and that's what makes him upset.
Anyway.
First time listeners are like, God damn, they're
these
cryptic.
Guys are morons.
These are the most cryptic motherfuckers ever.
All these in-jokes, I'm disinterested now.
Sure. One-star review.
Oh no, those are people that don't actually listen to the show.
That's true.
But yeah, man, things have been going real good. The Twitch thing's going real nice.
Uh-huh.
The voice work is actually panning out. I'm actually getting some more work, so that's cool. And yeah, other than that, I ain't doing shit.
But are you learning?
I'm learning a little bit. I'm learning a little bit about like video editing and image editing and
video games
and like marketing myself. And it's pretty cool.
All right. Cool. What about you, Senor?
What about it?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. You know that thing with, I don't like embracing that idea that, oh, let me get all stressed out and go on vacation. And then I'll come back and everything will be fixed because that makes no goddamn sense. That being said, there is something to be said about decompressing and away from a thing for a week and then coming back and getting some perspective. But the workload's starting to build up again and all that. But my I'm trying to be less compulsive about things, Jorge. Like, I don't want to get up and like compulsively go to the gym on like 4 hours of sleep and then like be stressed out going into work just because so I can go to the gym. That makes no goddamn sense.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. I kind of need to be the other way. I need to be compulsive about everything. I need to do like things to like a very strict routine. Otherwise I don't do anything. I try not to like really plan my day like too much.
Compulsive doesn't mean plan inertia.
I know. Like, well, no, but I mean, I try not to be like super nitpicky about planning a schedule. Because as soon as I do, everything gets fucked up, but I need to have like some kind of like
structure. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I need to,
I agree with that. Yeah. It's just like,
what's with this look, this face?
Are you
talking about how I'm last minute for everything? I am last minute for everything because I try to be very flexible with my time. But
listener, Jorge does not believe anything Matt just said.
But that's true.
But things have been going good. Oh, I'm really excited for, as you guys may know,
oh God,
this whole pandemic business is grinding to a halt.
Yeah,
we're all done with it.
Yeah, hit June 15th. We're good.
We're good, according to Newsom. No, but nonetheless, there are some shows due to start happening later this year. I bought tickets to several things, and I'm real excited about it. I wanted to see if you wanted to come to what?
Well, thanks for the invite, bro.
Well, you wouldn't be interested.
He probably might.
Not, but I might want to be invited, you know?
Well, yes. We should go to Disturbed when they come to town.
I'm down.
I mean, I'm down with the sickness.
Dude, I'm so down if they have like a backstage pass type deal.
That you could buy.
We go straight faced and try to like, like we're not thinking it's hilarious to look at him.
Down. To like go back there and meet them and be like,
they might have meet and greet passes. They might. These fools weren't making money for an entire year.
I know.
So they might be trying to really cash in.
What show are we going to, dude?
Black Midi.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'm down.
The Casbah. Also, I got tickets for Squid, that band that sent you. They have a, this band, Squid mm-hmm. Fellers. Like, Britain is going through another musical. Oh, they've got a lot of good post-punk experimental bands going on.
I mean, look at what they're dealing with Brexit and...
Fuck yeah. Well, and that brings up a good point. When you have bullshit going on, it yields good reactions in the artistic community.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know, you gotta put some bullshit on stuff for it to grow.
That's why we're getting a bunch of zombie movies again, because there's xenophobia running rampant.
That's right. And I'm seeing a 25-year-old lady named Julian Baker.
Does Sophia know?
Does Sophia know about this 25-year-old?
Oh, not seeing her. Like, no, she's at the, it's playing at the observatory.
Hi, Sophia.
You know, yeah, hi, Sophia.
Coopocalypse Now. Coop, our friend in Colorado, is seeing her.
Oh, the friend that you saw in Colorado?
I didn't see him.
Oh, okay.
He was out of town. Mm. He was out of town.
Mm. It's funny that I met up with him when I was in Colorado.
Because he went out of his way to make up that he wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
he didn't want to touch tips.
I think he was in town. He just didn't want to see you.
That's what, me too.
That's what he had told me.
But I think he made that easier on me. He's like, now there's no pressure. Did I say pressure?
He did say
Could you never?
Pressure.
Could you never, ever in your entire life say fresh?
That's a good Billy Joel song. Pressure.
It is.
Pressure!
Dang, dang.
That's a heavy ass song. Yeah. Deftones and Gojira are playing in LA in September.
We should
go to that.
I'm so down.
Oh, with Poppy.
I'm so down.
Yeah, we should go to that.
Poppy would be a fucking sight to see, man.
Yeah. And I plan on going to Telluride this year.
Are you for real?
Yeah, and Sophia loves the idea.
Because like,
I already got 12 more hours of vacation time already built up.
You should book a room soon, because like a lot of the places will make you only do a small deposit. But
give them a small deposit.
We're going to be rolling deep this year. Christina Capobianco just said she's going to go.
Maybe you should be broadcasting your last name on the
internet. We've said it a bunch of times.
Yeah, but, you know.
Well, whatever. She says she's going to go. And then we got like Moon Boy going.
Moon Boy fucked her.
Mitch is going and Jacob Seaver's going. And there's a bunch of people rolling.
That sounds like a real motley crew. I'm beginning. Now that you mentioned who's going,
I'm a little reticent now to go.
We might check out a couple of the movies. For $20 at the last minute. And
yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, right. You
yeah.
Just do hiking and just sneak in. And
No. We would want to visit the, you know, it's in the Rockies, man.
Yeah. It's like, gorgeous. It's tucked right in between mountains. It's like everything just looks like a painting that you would see in a shitty hotel.
And who goes there, due to yourself, has a storied history with Telluride.
I do. And they're like 6 years now. This is like their 11th year, I think.
Is it six times you've gone?
Yeah, it might even be seven, but definitely at least.
That's pretty good.
Because we started the year after the podcast. So yeah, 2014 was the first year we went. And then this will be 14, 15, 16, 17.
Except for 18, 2020.
19, 20, 21. So this will be the eighth year since we've been going. We missed one because of COVID, and we missed one due to Jazzy and Dustin's wedding. And that's it.
Mm. Okay, cool. All right, fellas. Well, let's get this show on the road. You watch anything?
No. I have not watched Actually, that's not true. I finished Castlevania. It's fucking amazing. And it's actually got a happy ending and an amazing final boss fight. I was really happy with the way that show went. After season two, I thought it was just going to kind of flounder and just do whatever.
That's how I felt after just wade around in its own watery shit.
Yeah.
What? No, actually I didn't see season two, but
yeah. But no, it
totally redeemed itself.
Just when I think it couldn't suck. No, it was great, man. It was a really fulfilling journey, to say the least. And that is the least I'm going to say, but, that's really all I've watched. because I've just been playing a bunch of fucking games. But I have been playing games. I played Dead by Daylight, and they released the player test build for the Resident Evil chapter today. And I got to play that a little bit. So 25th anniversary of Resident Evil and the 5th anniversary of Dead by Daylight. Now they're going to have Nemesis as one of the killers.
Good choice.
I got to play against him. I was hoping for Jack from Part 7, but Nemesis is really the only other
Jack
option.
Jack Skellington? Yeah, that would be. That would be.
But he looks cool, and they've added zombies to the game when you're playing against Nemesis. So there's just shambling zombies that can chase you off generators, and then you have to go and get a potion or some shit to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. And they added Leon and Jill, so that's cool.
I love Leon because I love Part 4.
Yep.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, Leon's died. Well, Leon was also in Part 2, so.
Yeah, but I didn't play that.
And then
it's because you don't know shit about video games.
That's really all I done did.
I know that Resident Evil made a revolutionary change in its vantage point with Part 5 or some shit.
It was with Part 4.
Okay. No more.
No, it's after Part 4. Part 4 was still behind the player.
Then it was Part 7.
Yeah. When did they first do away with the tank tread mechanic?
4.
Was it 4?
Yeah, because 1, 2, and 3 all had it, and then 4 was the one where they went third person over the shoulder.
Right. Dope as fuck.
Versus the fixed camera. Right. And then 5, they introduced co-op, and it fucking sucked, and I hate it. And then 6 went full action, and I didn't even... That's the only Resident Evil game I haven't bothered to play.
But they went first person view in Part 6, right?
In 7.
Oh, in 7? Yeah. Okay. And Village is the one after, so.
Village is the one that just came out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Which is still, it's basically Resident Evil 8, but just doesn't have
it. It is 8, but like in Village, it's the V-I-V. I-L-L, so it's V. It's Roman numerals.
Oh my God.
So that's a big brain thinking right there.
Oh my God.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Wow, you really broke down that mystery right there.
Yeah, I did.
It's also called Biohazard, isn't it?
It's Biohazard in Japan.
And of course. Of course.
That's cool.
Neat. What about you, dude?
Let me get to the rewatches. We saw Hi Sophia.
We said Hi Sophia when you were
get with the show.
I'm with the show.
Talking about some other woman you were seeing.
Yeah.
Julian Baker seeing at the observatory with Sophia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And Julian Baker I don't need to know
her name, man. Plausible deniability. If
she's Sophia a lesbian. She's a proud lesbian.
I'm sure she is.
Oh, shit. All right.
You think you can change her, I guess, and she's willing to let you try? You go right ahead.
Scissor sisters.
Are you going to mansplain her sexuality to her?
No, I just read an article last night. All right.
So you're doing research.
It was written by another lesbian. We're good. What? Mm. Stand
Why
by me.
Why does your sexual orientation matter, Red?
It does.
Is that a thing?
It means that I'm not even in the cards. Unless I get a gender reveal party, and then I can reveal myself to be a woman, and then I'll be in the cards again.
I mean, you could do that. You could do that at any point.
All right, continue.
Stand by Me, 35th anniversary. We saw it in a
good
theater.
Movie.
It was fucking fun to see in a theater. It really was. And the movie retains its wonder. And, you know, the biggest thing about that is
Frank Darabont, right?
No, it's actually Reiner.
I'm thinking of another bald, old, white bitch. That's Rob, right.
And he did Princess Bride, too, around the same. So that guy's on a roll in the 80s. But
Darabont did The Mist.
And he did Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. And he did the beginning of Walking Dead. And he did Green Mile. But the performances they got out of that group of kids. And then they had this little making of featurette before, which you could probably see on the DVD. But regardless, seeing it in a theater is why I know about it.
Oh, they played
it
in the theater, huh? Nice.
They showed it in a theater. We saw it in La Jolla. And he was talking about how when you cast these younger guys, they don't have the film, the craft of acting yet to deviate too far from their personality. So Rob Reiner used the personalities of the kids to kind of inform the characters more. So like Corey Feldman, understandably so, was the really problematic, troubled one. And then he's like, let's play that up.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm Corey Feldman.
Did I ever tell you my Corey Feldman story?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
Okay, sorry.
Corey Feldman story?
Don't do it again.
We actually haven't told the story in a long time. But anyway, continue.
That's best that you just keep it like that.
Is it?
It makes it sound like I'm personally invested in it.
Or you're personally insulted by it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to hear your fucking Corey Feldman story.
Let me fucking defend Feldman. We watched, it was like something, I was going through Amazon Prime and goddamn, they have a lot of fucking movies. Yeah. Right? And so then it hit me though, like a ton of bricks, Throw Mama from the Train. And I was like, Sophia, have you seen this movie? And she's all, I've never heard of it. I was like, wake up, you gotta watch this.
Get up, bitch.
It's like 11:30 at night. He's like,
it was about 11. It was about 11. And I'm like, this will keep you up. Trust me.
This will keep you up.
And it did until the very end. And she fell asleep a little bit, then woke up again. But yeah, I love that movie. I've loved it since I was a kid. And Danny DeVito directs that, which is weird. I think I like him as a director quite a bit.
He did Matilda too, and that's a good kid's
flick.
And
he did Death to Smoochie, which is fucking great.
Yeah.
That's a very underrated film. Anyway, besides that, I watched a little film with Snoop Dogg called Bones.
Is that the first time you ever seen it?
I had never seen it, and it was like...
I had the unique privilege of seeing that in theaters.
Yeah, it was like, you need to watch this. And so about almost 20 years hence, and I'd never seen it. I mean, that movie is...
phenomenal.
Let me switch. It's magic. Yeah. It's a magical film. And there's a scene where the dog's face morphs into Snoop Dogg, and then it throws up a bunch of maggots on him, on this dude, and he's like, that's a really fucked up movie. Did you notice that the color of the blood? It was like a giallo movie. It was like the color of the It was like the color of the blood in like fucking Suspiria, the original. It was like, I think the director was going for some like really over the top Italian horror influenced Snoop Dogg. Maybe
it's just because they were like paranormal ish that, you know, it was like,
I don't know,
black blood of the earth.
I don't know. But I will say this, in all seriousness, Snoop Dogg is the least menacing person. Like, that's not gonna, I'm not gonna believe him as a menacing Freddy Krueger in the mid
90s.
Yeah, bro. Murder was the case.
Get what I'm saying? His presence, his film presence.
He did a video with the devil before Lil Nas X did.
Yeah. that was interesting. That was a fun watch. And then I watched a movie, newer stuff. I watched a movie called A Glitch in the Matrix, which is a documentary.
About that, the bit?
It's about the bit. It's about the idea that we're living, not living in base reality, that the chance of us living in base reality, if we ever do come up with simulation powers good enough, is the thing isn't that we have it now. It's that if we ever come up with it, in human history, that the chance that we're in base reality right now is exceedingly low. And if you look at the trajectory of just Pong to where graphics have gotten in the last couple few decades, if you, you know, let's extrapolate and see if we survive a couple hundred years, we're in a simulation, bro.
Solipsism all the way down, dude.
I have no idea what the fuck you just said.
Oh, but I don't like it.
George,
but,
can you dumb it for me?
It's like if you're in a video game, but your entire life, brother.
Oh,
it's like,
wait, but we're in it now, or we're going to be in it.
No, well, who knows?
There's a Ryan Reynolds movie that's coming out like that.
Who knows?
Well, literally that exact thing. He's in a video game, but he's like an NPC, but he becomes sentient.
It's like that. What would the video games of a higher consciousness that's billions of years old be? They would be like entire lives. You see what I'm saying?
If there was higher beings that were playing my life as a video game, they're fucking boring.
No, but we're using the most recent technology we have as a reference point.
Well, what if
it's far beyond a video
game. What if your life is boring because I'm thinking about you?
What if your life is boring I'm so talking? Like,
I'm imagining your life as boring. Maybe that's why it's boring. Because
I don't want your life.
So you're boring?
No. You're the one that's boring. I'm making your life
boring.
You're
the one because you're thinking of me. So you're boring because you're thinking of me being boring.
Well, maybe it's just the self is experiencing itself subjectively.
We're all the imagination of ourselves.
Yeah. No, you lost me.
Here's Tom with the weather. It's the same guy who directed the Room 237 documentary, though, about The Shining. So I really like that guy.
Shining. You want to get sued?
The Shining. Yeah, sorry about that. And then I watched a movie, which it's a Spanish film, but it takes place in a kind of I don't want to say alternate reality, but an exaggerated reality, Mexico. It's called New Order. It's about
about the 80s new
not quite. Extreme income disparity causes people to start rioting, and it starts out with like a wedding and a family thing going on, and then about 20 minutes in, it jumps fucking ship and transitions into a really fucked up movie Basically about what happens when society breaks down to extreme due to extreme income disparity. And it's one of the more unflinching, like, looks at the thing. Like, don't get attached to any character. Don't look for any happy ending. And don't expect any of the authority figures to do the right thing. And don't expect any of the good people to survive.
At the end, dude, you're going to be like, we live
in a society. Actually, you're going to be like, we don't live in a society. It's a cheap facade. And this is all bullshit.
Well, but isn't that what that means, dude?
But yeah, kind of. But I would highly recommend that movie, New Order, and what I mentioned last week, Demon Slayer. I'd really recommend both of those for totally different fucking reasons.
Neat.
Yeah.
What's you, dude?
So I actually, Rhett talked about this movie a long time ago, Black Bear, with what's her face, Aubrey Plaza. Real fucking good, man. Is it? It's a real movie watchers movie. Like,
so I should steer clear.
You'd like it.
I think you would not like it because it's a little too meta for its own good. Mm. Not that that's a bad thing.
It wears out its welcome by the third part.
I think the writing is phenomenal. The location becomes kind of a character. Aubrey Plaza is fantastic. Unflinchingly great in this film. It's
that girl good.
That girl good in that movie.
And it's got the dude from your favorite movie from last year, Possessor.
Yeah, he's actually good in it. I like that guy. I argued quite a bit.
All year with Jorge last year. I said, this is not the best film of the year for horror movies. And Jorge kept insisting Possessor was the best horror film of last year.
True. That's true.
Okay.
And then I watched the second season of Love, Death, and Robots, which was okay.
I didn't realize the second season was
okay. I remember coming out of the first season and was really astonished at the chances they took with the medium, you know, of animation and whatnot. I kind of felt like they were stymied a little stymied by just kind of samey ideas about like immortality and it felt like every story was based around worrying about when you're gonna die, which I mean I guess everything is, but
it's kind of like Black Mirror where they start kind of repeating themselves.
Yeah, it's almost like this the
like series a glitch in the
already
Matrix.
Has already like overstayed its welcome, and I'm kind of like season three. I'm not looking super forward to it, but it's okay. I mean, I almost would rather just watch season one again because it's that good. But yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know. No, I wasn't a super fan of it. But yeah, that's it.
Right on.
What about you, Matt?
I already did what I done watched.
Oh, you didn't watch shit.
I ain't watched shit. That's right.
Never mind.
That's exactly correct. I ain't watched shit.
All right. Any news we should get to, gentlemen?
Gentlemen? I already talked about Resident Evil and Dead by Daylight. Funko's doing Mandy toys, so if you're Rhett or Jacob Denton, you're stoked.
I just don't want to buy toys because where do you stop once you start, right?
You got to draw the line somewhere.
I love that they're making them and that people are wanting that. I do. But I'll just watch the movie again.
Fair enough. Yeah. There's a fan remake of Resident Evil Code Veronica coming out, and the first chapter will be out next month for free on PC. So maybe Capcom will pick it up and do a full game release. Who knows? And then the only other thing, it's music related, but it's creepy. Megan McDuffie, who did the soundtrack for River City Girls, a game I play on Twitch. She's got a new record that just came out called Inner Demons, and her new video for the song Wicked Thing is like creepy horror-y stuff. And I just learned that she co-wrote the theme for Wrong Turn, like the new version. Mm-hmm. And apparently she's a part of the Bloody Disgusting podcast network on a show called Creepy, but she does real good, like 80s sounding electro synth pop.
Okay, I'm in.
It's good, man. Like, I would highly recommend the song The Hunt from the River City Girls soundtrack. Like, that song fucks. Like, I can listen to that song on repeat all day. Super good.
All right, cool.
And yeah, the new album, Inner Demons, on Bandcamp, meganmcduffie.bandcamp.com.
Neato. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about a movie. movie, dude. All right, idiots. Bye.
It's Poppy.
Hey, Matthew.
So,
guess what, dude?
We're back.
The Book of Saw, dude.
Oh, can you tell all the homies about Patreon, my dude?
You know, in the movie Spiral, the Book of Saw, they say that the spiral is a symbol of change. And to change, you need help, whether it be from a higher power or from your friends and family, or from the good people over at patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, because running a podcast ain't free, but it ain't super expensive either, so we need a little bit of help sometimes.
It ain't super expensive either?
Yeah.
Don't you usually say it ain't super cheap either?
Maybe. I don't know. I say a lot of things.
What he's trying to say is that if you give us money, you become our higher power.
Yeah, you are our higher power. You are our God. We need you, God. Please help us. It's me,
God,
Margaret.
Money. And as you all know, fear is your only God.
Yes. So
we went to 90s.
Follow songs your fear right there. To patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and give us some money to help run this show, and we'll give you some other stuff. You can see all about it on patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Cool.
Who goes there podcast?
He's like, let me pull up the IMDb page.
While Jorge looks up
the IMDb. I got it. Fuck you. The Who Goes There podcast watched 2021's Spiral, directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, written by Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Starring Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson, Max Minghella, Marisol Nichols, Dan Petrondiegifike,
Pedant,
Richard Zapieri, Patrick McManus, Ali Johnson, Zoe Palmer, Dylan Roberts, Casey Collins, Eddie Inksetter, Nanzine Contractor. What a fucking crazy ass name, Nanzine Contractor. Fuck.
You know, it's like how your last name like represents the job that you do. Like he's a contractor.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of Spiral, the Book of Saw, dude?
Tell you, man, when I watched this movie, my eyes were full of fear. Not fear from what I was watching on the screen, but fear from watching a horrible movie and wasting my time and never being able to get it back. This movie feels like somebody wrote a really cliche fucking cop drama and the studio was like, but can you make it a Saw movie? But
can you make it Saw, dude?
And he's like, I guess. They introduced a puppet, which I like the puppet, but you introduced a cooler puppet, so you took a step back. Everything in this movie is a step back, and I kind of hate that I had to watch it. I reactivated my AMC A-list just so I could watch this piece of shit in IMAX, mind you.
Good.
Same.
You didn't pay extra. That's good. That's good.
It was not worth my time. I'm very disappointed, and I'm really wondering why they postponed it an entire year.
Because they were afraid. Because they were sitting on a gold mine.
A gold mine of doo-doo.
Shit.
You don't want to go next, Jorge?
I mean, I'll go. I don't give a shit.
Right, you've been chomping at the bit.
You want me to go? You want me to go? You want me to go? You don't want me to go? You want me to go?
Yeah, you go. I got to collect. Dude, I still have to collect my thoughts.
Get your bingo cards out.
This shit feels like you're punching down, brother. Like, honestly, like, I don't even...
Like you're punching down.
To articulate how poorly I feel about this movie, this movie sucks, man. And it's so fucking disappointing that the Saw franchise has
it makes reached, me not want to say that word.
Has reached the level where it's like a parody.
Didn't it reach that like 9,000 movies ago?
Yeah, but like no, I just mean like it feels like one of those 90s parodies of a Saw movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy to me because they it's a Saw movie.
Saw.
But all the...
It is.
All the...
Sawness is
gone. All the Saw stuff, they're like, you know what, dude? We're going to...
All
gonna,
the sauce.
Bro.
We're gonna break away from all of this cool shit.
It was like four traps in the whole movie. And then like... One of them I have problems with.
All of them I have problems with. Because
I actually do have problems.
Like I understand that Jigsaw never really wanted these people to leave the traps, but some did. These traps have no. There's zero chance for them to.
Oh yeah.
There's zero chance for these people to escape. So I'm like, well, they're all gonna die. There's no way that any of these fucks get out of these. So what are the stakes?
I want to hold my tongue.
Rhett. This movie's fucking dumb, man. Like I feel bad watching it, and I feel dumb having finished it. And I'm glad it was an hour and a half, because fuck this movie.
That's still too long.
Rhett,
there it is, the bingo card.
Okay, so the entire film. What's this called? Oh yeah, Spiral ... The Book of Saw. This should tell you immediately that you're in trouble, because there is no fucking Book of Saw. Okay. There's no, it's not like some ongoing saga. It's different people getting killed and mangled in fucked up ways to, you know, because they did bad stuff according to some ass. Okay. Anyway, this movie, I hate the movie. I hate the movie because, well, This exists because Chris Rock is a huge fan of Saw. Like, that's why. He ran into somebody and he said he loved the Saw franchise, and that's nice and good. But Tom Green might love The Godfather, but that doesn't mean he should make a Godfather movie.
Right.
So not only...
I mean, that might be better.
That would be fucking great. That would probably be better.
No, can you imagine what he would do with the horse head that wound up in the bed?
He'd probably start licking it.
He did with the deer. I want to watch that movie, but...
Freddy Got Fingered?
Yeah, we should do that movie.
It's so good.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so not only it's a vanity project, right? So not only does he take something that was already, again, Saw was done to me anyway long time ago. It was done, Saw 3D.
It was done like five movies before it was actually done.
Right, and when like Saw 3D, which like 2010 was like the worst up to that point. Then they waited, and then they did Jigsaw in 2017.
Did we do that for the show?
We haven't done any Saw movies.
Really? Okay.
None.
And then it's like.
I saw Jigsaw.
And that failed. Like commercially and fan wise, and they're like, you know what? But now Chris Rock's attached, and he wants to star in it.
So
and
let's
he
take wants, out Jigsaw.
Yeah, so let's take out Jigsaw. And I don't want to get into everything, but Chris Rock, like, this is. I know that people can make transitions from comedy to drama. This is not this.
Bro, but for somebody who loves the franchise, what did you say? Delivering the lines with like all the something of a corpse.
Yeah, man. It's that's the I mean, to me, I beyond the stuff that's troubling about this film, because, you know, you've got aspects of the Saw. I'm going to stop saying the fucking word Saw.
Saw.
That's got this like DNA from this movie franchise that. I know it had some merit to it in the beginning. You know, there was some fun there to be had.
You mean in James Wan and Lee Whannell's original Saw film?
So you've
before stripped, he went on to do The Conjuring?
You've stripped away all of the fun of the Saw films, and you're left with this animated corpse who's either screaming lines.
yes.
Or fucking whispering menacingly at everything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, are you a stand-up comic? Are you in Def Comedy Jam? Or are you the solemn cop? Which one is it? Like,
he's both.
They went back and forth. Neither one of them worked.
Neither. That's the worst part is neither of them worked.
Chris, like, so if you like the Saw franchise, why did you have to star in it? Why did you have to star as a cop against, like, it'd be miscast completely? And then on paper, I don't dislike the idea of incorporating the Saw mythology. I dislike them doing any of them at this point. But if you're going to use the police corruption thing, okay, that's possibly interesting. You could possibly do something.
It's at least topical, but it feels so fucking ham-fisted when it does. It is
ham-fisted. Everything in the film is ham-fisted. Yeah. The cuss word when
they're pigs. Get it? Because like they dressed up like a pig in the original.
And same thing with like his boss. Like it's a lady and she cusses. She says the F word. It's the same shit like when we watch Mortal Kombat and it's like, oh, they're saying cuss words. It's like, dude, like nothing is coming off natural. Like nothing is natural. And his dad is Samuel L. Jackson. It's like, so Samuel Jackson actually has a part in the movie, which you texted me with great regret yesterday. where he says, "What you talking about, Willis?"
Dude, and
did he say Willis?
He said Willis, brother. Because
I heard "What you talking about," but I didn't hear Willis.
No, he said Willis. Said
Willis, man. Oh my God. And this was like people surrounded by
yes men. Someone tell them no.
I have to look up who wrote this, because this feels like black dialogue written by white people.
If that makes sense. It feels like black dialogue written by people who are multimillionaires for the last 30 years.
Oh yeah. Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger. Those are two white names I ever heard of.
The direction is one of the guy who directed a couple of their Saw movies.
He directed a bunch. He was on the opening for the Dead by Daylight reveal today, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so-and-so who directed Spiral from the Book of Saw and a bunch of the other Saw movies." I'm like, how fucking dare you? How dare you?
As soon as they did the opening thing with the guy, the opener with the guy's tongue in the fucking subway, and the camera started glitching and turning upside down and shit, I was like, don't do this. Are you going to do this?
Another one of those scenes too that I'm thinking. I go, what? Where along the way did you guys go so wrong? You know what pinpointed exactly how I felt about this movie to a fine fucking detail.
Detail
where Chris Rock is in his fucking car and he starts screaming and then it starts glitching out and then he starts like hitting the fucking dashboard.
Yeah.
With zero intensity. He's like a baby hitting a fucking dashboard. And I go, okay, well, I'm out. 100% I'm out. I was out already.
Yeah.
But I was literally like grabbing my wallet and I'm like, oh, fuck, no, I got to stay. I got to stay for this thing.
It was fucking hilarious. And also the directing choice there was to have the camera start glitching out and shaking. Do you remember?
Yeah,
that's twice they do that.
That's the Saw thing. That's the thing where they like close up on something and then they glitch and then it's a wide shot and then it's.
How about never again? How about stop it?
Hold on. So you were talking about like, you know, I think you mentioned the first trap, and that's one of the ones that I have the biggest fucking problem with. Okay. So I understand that this is a reimagining and this isn't Jigsaw and this is the own thing.
You're saying your daddy's Jigsaw, bitch. Yeah,
and, it's a slightly bigger budget.
That's fine. But like,
is it
for me? I'm questioning the motivations of this killer. And like, we won't say who the killer is yet, but like, so I'm questioning the motivations, and here's the big thing. So in the original Saw movies, the whole point is for the person to overcome some kind of like trauma to themselves to then survive and appreciate what they have.
It's punishing people who have done wrong.
It's like Seven, but instead of seeing the aftermath, you see all the fucking tests.
So my big thing with this first kill, and I have problems with all of them, but my biggest thing with this first one, and it stuck in my mind for the whole fucking movie, was that poor train conductor, because he had nothing to do with anything. So unless he's another experiment that's going to be tied in a sequel, this poor guy's just working, drinking his coffee, and now he's got fucking PTSD.
Well, and everybody on the train too.
Well, but they didn't have to see it. Like they can just be like, oh, we had an issue, you know, technical, whatever. This guy saw the body explode. He's responsible, like partially responsible for the death of this person.
Well, they changed the meaning of the title with that.
See, and I felt really bad for him. I'm like, well, what about this poor fucking guy? Like now
this poor sod.
Yeah. What about the comeuppance for the killer? Who made this guy into a killer, you know, like,
you know, that thing, you know what that thing is called where you say a word so much that it loses meaning. You know what that term is?
No.
It's called semantic satiation. So the word saw means literally nothing to me right now.
Yeah. That's good. You drained it.
Yeah. Good. I've drained the swamp.
That's because we, you know.
We saw, dude. Saw.
Yeah. So there's like four traps in this whole movie. And like, they like none of them, like you said earlier, really feel like there's any way of escaping.
Which might be the point. But ultimately, like, then why the fuck do we need to watch them? Just give me the aftermath. Right?
And I'm wondering, if you do survive, what's the point? So you know, later, and this is a big spoiler, but like the police woman, when she's in her trap, I'm like, okay, so it's not like, you know, the guy in the first one where he's crawling through the barbed wire and, you know, he's going to be all cut up. Like, you literally need to sever your own spinal cord.
Yeah, how does the machine know?
Yeah, and so
stupid.
You're just like a So you're just going to be a head on a stick for the rest of your life? Like, what's the fucking point?
And she wouldn't know that she could do that and just still survive.
Yeah.
And like, you'd have to do it in like right there.
Just enough to
right cut there the- at the bottom of your cerebellum.
So then we're led to, I go, well, none of these are meant to have them survive.
Right.
Right.
What's the point?
Yeah. There is no point.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Is that then just do away with this little connection to
also look
to being like doing fucking good, being a do-gooder
without divulging who the killer is yet. And even if we never did, I don't think that fucking matters to me personally. But I'll say this: once they do, look, the person Jigsaw or a person who would go through the trouble of making these traps and doing all this and teaching these moral lessons and giving these, playing this, I want to play a game bullshit. But
are you teaching a moral lesson if there's no chance of surviving?
No, that's what I'm saying. The person who would want to do any of that would have to have some very specific pathology. Just because of what happened to this guy, like, I get that he would have beef with the fucking police force.
Right.
But that means you're going to copycat Jigsaw?
And like, so
like that, aren't there other ways to get revenge what than is create the fucking elaborate Saw. Traps?
Yeah. And they don't even go into like why or how he would.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh no, traps? I fully get what you're saying.
And then that also means this guy, well, he had to go through elaborate means to get to his position.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He had to go get trained and go to school.
It's all just like brushed off in a throwaway line of dialogue. Yeah. He's like, you know how hard it was to insert tasks here?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. So he worked to get to that position. Okay.
It's absolute fucking nonsense.
Yeah. Here's, do you know how long it took me? About 12 years.
Yeah.
I know exactly how long. Said,
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I got it.
That's why you said that at that point, which I found very suspect when you said that.
Right.
And then this whole Samuel Jackson thing, I cannot fucking like, dude.
Okay. Before you get into that, did you guys think he was dead from the beginning?
What do you mean? Like,
because when they're talking about him, like, oh, you're, you know, oh, don't mention my father. Like, I'm under the impression his dad's fucking dead. No. And then it's like, he's just sitting in his kitchen. It's like, why were they all talking about him? Like he died.
Okay. So that kind of goes to where I'm going with this. He's been in the force a while. He knows there's a lot of corruption in the force. Not Samuel Jackson, our main character, Chris right. Rock, Zeke. And He's known as the rat, you know, because he's the guy, of course, not only does he play the main character, but he plays an incorruptible cop. So there's no moral ambiguity to him, except that you've got the fucking like cliche of he's divorced and he has to throw some shit in about women cheating too, which is like a joke from like
early
HBO days.
Fuck, dude, that whole conversation, dude, I
that felt like an unskippable cutscene in a fucking video game.
When they're going down the escalator into the fucking subway station, he's like, yeah, you know, them bitches. And I'm like, oh.
Maybe it's because you call them bitches.
It's Def Comedy Jam from 1990.
Man, dude. Like, what's going on? Sorry to interrupt you yet again.
Oh, no, because it's hard not to with this. Because it's nonstop shit if one thing brings up the other stuff.
One thing leads to another.
So he's this incorruptible cop. He's known as the snitch and whatnot, the rat, because he doesn't deal with cop corruption. The first guy who dies was his buddy, right?
Yep.
A dirty ass cop.
Yep.
Did he not know he was dirty?
And he even said, he's like, you know, he was the only one when all of you guys stabbed me in the back. He was the only one that was my friend.
Dude, that makes like, no fucking sense. He's a dirty ass cop.
Yeah, and an associate. And on top of that, later in the movie, it's actually Chris Rock Zeke is given information that everybody thought he was the most like corrupt person on the stand. He was like, what?
Why did he not know that? Same thing with his dad. Shit comes out about his dad later and he's shocked. It's like, why wouldn't he know that after being around for 20 fucking years?
Dude,
like, his character makes no sense.
The way they just threw that out where they're like at the AA meeting or whatever, and that guy's like, yeah, you know, we were under Article 8 and we just, and it's like, they just throw it away like we're supposed to know what Article 8 is, and then they info dump you at the end. It's like, oh yeah, Article 8 was where cops could basically do whatever the fuck they wanted to people. Oh yeah, and why? Oh, because it was instituted by your dad.
Yeah, and he never heard of
what?
It.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Why would he do that?
Article what?
So it's like he's been held in this little capsule where nothing touched him for 20 years as a cop. He didn't know about anything.
He was just undercover for 20 years.
But he's known as the snitch, even though he didn't know his dad and his buddy were fucking corrupt as fuck. Like, what are you talking
realistically
about?
He would have been moved to another precinct too, because one, his dad was the fucking chief, and two, oh, he yeah. ratted out another cop. They would have moved him because somebody would have for real put a bullet in his
back. It seemed like, again, like a vanity project where the guy who's putting up money and who's the lead actor is making the plot decision.
Was he also executive producer? Like, oh,
we'll just have the camera shake and I'll freak out here and this could be my daddy and blah blah blah. Like, stop talking about your daddy. What's with all the nepotism and shit? Like, what the fuck is this? Pathetic. Like, don't talk about my daddy that way. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're a cop, for Christ's sake. Yeah.
You're a cop, dude. Like, you shouldn't even be working in the same department. Like, if you're such a good, like, non-corrupt cop, like, what are you talking about? Have you heard of a conflict of interest? Like, none of that came up.
Yeah, and I know what they were trying to do was to sort of, like, a little bit of, like, oh, is Chris Rock corrupt, dude?
Oh, yeah, he is an executive producer.
He is. Yeah.
And the whole time I go, it's
so is James Wan.
I know.
I know I do this bit where I'm like, is that guy? Like 15 seconds in, I'm gonna go, that's the guy. That's the guy. 15 seconds in, I go, it's that guy. It's this guy.
I did have a moment.
Because everybody in the background and everybody around Chris Rock is so like, I'm a bad cop.
I had a moment where I thought maybe it was his dad and the female police chief together, because for some reason the pig now has, instead of having the very deep like, I want to play a game, like they have like a
now it's like, hey, would you
hello, detective
would
Matthews.
You like to play a game?
I want to no play it's more game.
Like, would you like to play a game?
Yeah, yeah, there you do.
It's like the Kaiser Permanente voice.
Would you like to play a game?
And I'm like, No, I would not.
And he has a very small frame. So I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be a woman involved and it's going to be the dad. And like the reason the guy's like, your dad's the reason I've been doing this is because he knows his dad is fucking corrupt, which I mean, he did. But it's such a fuck. And so I'm wondering what is saw about this movie other than the elaborate
the traps. It's all it is.
Because, well, but I mean, like there's no chance of getting, okay. Because the guy that got his fingers ripped off, it was like
he didn't have enough time.
He did not hesitate, with the exception of 2 seconds where he screamed in pain, so the machine stopped.
Yeah, and he still got electrocuted.
Yeah, he basically had to just start from the second it told him to go and then not stop at all. There's no way he was going to survive that.
Well, and look, here's it all falls apart too, because it's, again, it's only existing because some actor liked the thing. So that's why none of this makes sense if it's not Jigsaw. Like, why do the machines look all rusty? Yep. Where did he get the old leather straps? Like, and it's like, oh, who cares? That's Saw. No, it's not. This is some other dude.
Yep.
Like, he went finding rusty metals. Like, what is, it's stupid. Like, the whole thing, like, falls apart.
They should have just called this movie something like Pig Destroyer and then just like made it all about just murdering cops.
And the other thing too is obviously there's some references to the original fucking film.
But it wears
the goddamn reference on its fucking sleeve, pardon the fucking pun, I guess. Where you've got Chris Rock and he's got the hacksaw in his hand, and he's like,
oh yeah,
oh, good thing I found a bobby pin. I'm like, oh fuck,
dude, that's what for
I
mean. Real?
That's why I'm having a hard time talking about this, because it's not one scene or enough scenes to be bad. Every scene is bad.
Yep.
Every scene, the sequence, like every sequence of events, like you're just saying right there, the climax is stupid. It's dumb setup, and then it's like, oh, here's the saw. Oh, here's the thing to pick the lock. And then it gets stupider. And then it gets stupider.
Yeah, because he looks at his wrist. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to saw it off. And I go, oh, good. Okay.
Oh, and then
he was so like calm about
this. This motherfucker has a bunch of glass flying into him. And then Chris Rock literally has glass in his face. And it looks stupid and ridiculous.
He's holding that trash can up like it's going to do literally anything.
It was fucking, it's like a Saturday Night Live skit. So like, what is this?
I had such a problem with that trap.
Too, that one is fucking bonkers.
It's so stupid because those bottles would have got crushed into fine dust.
And not only that, but that whole scene is predicated on a recycling center that has a machine
that shoots out glass.
that puts,
he modified it, dude.
I'm thinking, okay, so either
it's more cinematic.
Either this recycling center has a fucking glass cannon machine gun, or this fucking goofball is brilliant enough to re-engineer a glass recycling plant that is still operational, maybe.
To shoot out shards of glass.
Shoot out fucking glass.
Extreme fucking speeds. Dude, there's no... And they're showing these giant shards that look like they fell out of the fucking window from Ghost, getting stuck in the wall.
And then Chris Rock, like, again, when I say literally, I know the term is misused. He literally has pieces of glass stuck in his face for the remainder of the movie. It's like he's walking around with really bad makeup.
And his revelation of like figuring out the puzzles is
oh my God. He found that fucking key.
Grade A moron bullshit, dude. When the first one is like, yeah, you're going to lose your head. And it's like,
yeah, no, I'm going to take your head. And it's like the head of police. No.
Talking about, dude,
the one with the glass where he's like, or you can keep him locked up forever and throw away the key, and he's like, throw away the key. The key must be in the trash.
You want to know how?
I honestly thought he was going to take the bobby pin and put the bobby pin in the trash can, and that was going to be the way to shut off the trap.
Yeah,
but dude,
it's because he's a super brilliant detective, brother.
Oh, is it?
That's how he can fucking figure these things out.
Can we talk about the tattoo? Because I have a real problem with the tattoo.
Which tattoo?
The Charlie tattoo.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that was good. That was great.
No.
That's fantastic.
You don't have a tattoo, Rhett, so maybe you don't understand that.
Oh, that was more of realistic.
Have you ever had a scab or a scratch or a cut?
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's essentially what a tattoo is. Do they heal instantaneously?
They do not.
So if somebody were to take an alive person and tattoo on their arm and then immediately kill them, assuming that that arm remained intact even though they were hit by a fucking train, then he just takes the arm skin and he just puts it on a baby doll. And he's like, no, I tattooed it on. That would be like not healed for one. It wouldn't look like a brand new tattoo. He was putting it off to be his own tattoo.
Right.
And there's no fucking way. One, it would have either looked fresh, maybe would have looked scabbed, something, but there's no way it would have been identical. I would have been like, well, this is scabbed.
This is a fresh tattoo. It's not him.
Yeah.
Dude, and then that scene where it's like, well, am I getting under your skin, detectives?
Dude,
and it's
like, that's the thing. There's no fucking dots to connect. Dude,
it's like, am I getting under your skin?
Under the skin! It's like, I bet you if you gave Quinn these exact puzzles, you know, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, she'd be like, oh,
it's under the skin,
right, Daddy?
That's what I mean. It just reeks of someone.
You mean like the head of police, Daddy?
Someone had money and thought they were like, oh, don't worry, this is clever. Like, no, it's not. No, so, okay, so our killer's motivation doesn't make sense.
Right.
Their origin doesn't make sense in light of what they're doing, even to me. Our protagonist,
end game of the traps doesn't make sense.
Yeah, our protagonist makes no fucking sense. The world around the protagonist makes no sense. His dad makes no sense because he would know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The dialogue's fucking horrible. It's laughable when it's not supposed to be. And when it is supposed to be funny, it's horrible.
And everything,
it's like dead.
Everything can be linked back to just like, hey, can I borrow your phone real quick? Yeah, sure. Here's my phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to text your dad. And then
you did that. You told him yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's like, God, that's not what that means either, by the way.
Like
use the phone.
I can only imagine the amount of like auto fellatio that went on in the writing room for this. Like, the two guys that wrote this movie must have been just sucking their own cocks.
No, they were getting called by Chris Rock, who was calling the shot.
You think absolutely. Chris Rock had heavy input on the dialogue?
He had heavy input to star in the movie and scowl the whole time.
Star in the movie, sure, but the dialogue in this, you think Chris Rock wrote this clunky-ass dialogue?
Yes. He's been doing shit like Grown Ups the last 10 years,
but Grown Ups was at least entertaining.
No.
That's the one with like Kevin James.
Don't even say his name in here.
Billy Madison.
Don't say
Billy Madison. Spade?
Kevin James. Kevin don't say James. His name.
He was good.
Don't say
I don't
him.
Care.
Don't
I don't care. Mandy. He was good in Mandy.
He's not in Mandy. He's in Becky or some bullshit.
He plays a Nazi. He's good in Mandy. Kevin don't James call it Mandy. Mandy.
Don't ever call it Mandy.
Don't call it a comeback.
Kevin James in Mandy, the Nazi movie with the you know please, the girl that wears please. The beanie.
Oh, he's doing that. He's doing my thing now.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's actually quite impressive.
Is it? Is it really?
Do you want to play a game? Dude, I mean, this guy, so...
The fact that they couldn't even do that, I have a voice modulator.
So the writer of this movie, one of the writers of this movie directed a little film called The Hungover Games, which, if you're unfamiliar, is a parody of the
Hunger Games. Slash Hangover.
So this is the pedigree of what you got going on here.
They obviously let Chris Rock try to improvise some scenes. Who'd you click,
Josh or Pete?
Josh.
Let me check Pete. See what Pete's known for.
Like Samuel L. Jackson. You think they wrote down in guys, a script what I've, you talking about, Willis?
I found. Yeah. Looking at this guy's pedigree.
Yep. Either way.
Known for Spiral, Jigsaw, Piranha 3D.
Oh,
some,
dude.
Some movie called Sorority Row.
Oh, that's dope.
He did write one episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's kind of cool. Actually, he wrote
Like the new versions.
He wrote two episodes of Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I mean this shit is fucking. It's
stick to writing cartoons.
It's
bro.
It's
gonna end up in my top five worst of the year. I'll tell you right now because I don't just dislike the movie. I don't just think it actively sucks. Hate I it. Actually hate. The
I was
film.
Mad.
I hate
mad
what it stands I for. I hate that they're trying to milk something that was dead years ago. I hate that on top of it too, like. Here's the thing. Saw is ugly. Even the good Saw movies. What are there? One and a half good ones?
I like the second one.
That's what I've heard. And I need to rewatch it. So I don't pretend to be some aficionado. I remember the first film was effective, especially in 2004 when it came out. And it was very minimal.
Well, right. Because that was a one room Charlie, man. Like
with like a cast of like five.
It's James Wan who moved on to...
Your favorite director.
Who moved on to great things like the Conjuring franchise. I'm not saying anything. No,
I did see the trailer for that movie finally.
What'd you think?
It doesn't look good.
It does not look good. There was one thing in there that's
interesting.
There was one thing in there that I remember thinking, oh, that looks kind of cool. It might have been the waterbed, but I'm like, oh wait, but they did that in like Nightmare on Elm Street.
I do like
that. And then they put the fucking jump scare right, dude, like a fucking timer. It's like, okay, here it is. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, that's how you got it. Look, have you noticed when you're dancing that you know when the beat's going to drop?
I don't dance because I don't know.
I don't dance things. Either, but I've noticed people on dance floors and I'm like, the beat is about to drop now.
I watch
now.
People.
People need to know when it's about to drop. See what I'm saying? There. That's anyway.
Yeah.
I liked what they said in the trailer about how like every time someone goes in a courtroom, they have to swear on the Bible and... Which assumes the existence of that, a very
maybe
specific
that was
God.
The one thing that I liked. It was like everybody always swears to God, like you it's gotta acknowledge the devil.
Yeah, if you're acknowledging the existence of this specific God, then you should acknowledge the existence of the devil.
We're not talking
anyway,
about
anyway. We're not on that movie yet, but yeah, I hate that this movie is milking that and squeezing it for all it's worth and that it thinks it's smart and it's not and that fucking the dialogue's horrible. I hate all that, but also the movie's ugly because it's a Saw movie. So on top of that, I get these gory scenes of some guy's fingers getting ripped off that don't make any fucking sense. I get this guy getting his tongue ripped off. So I'm leaving the film pissed off, insulted, and with fucking ugly ass imagery in my head that has no good philosophical reason to even be there.
Oh, you mean
there.
Ugly imagery? I thought you just meant the fact that you're like in dark, dingy, poorly lit factories and
they're
shit
just
like
trying
that.
To fucking. They were trying to rip off Seven with the cinematography constantly, fucking constantly. Like, but, and again, I'm not. I get that's the point. Like Saw is supposed to make you feel that way, but when the whole thing sucks, it's to add insult to injury. Also, now I've got it's ugly. On top of everything, it's also ugly.
Yeah. And it's peppered with every single cop drama trope you could pop. The only thing it was missing was the one cop that's like, a week away from retirement, and then he gets shot in his last day on the job.
As a cop drama, I have literally seen better CSI episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And that show sucks.
I've seen better episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, that show sucks. And I've still seen better episodes of that, like, 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's
make this movie, but with the cast of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, taking place at the Nine-Nine.
Make it with the cast of NYPD Blue and that fat fuck.
Yeah,
with
the who mustache. Showed his butt in the shower. We
saw his ass a lot, huh?
Yeah.
I remember that being a big deal. That maybe it was just because it was man ass, but like.
And meanwhile, fast forward 10 years and everyone's watching Netflix. Yeah. So, guess that didn't matter. Dope.
Huh? I don't understand the connection. But
the connection is there's no fucking rating thing on Netflix.
Like, oh, gotcha.
It doesn't matter if it's prime time
or
anything.
I was pretty surprised there was a bunch of boobs in Castlevania. There was like a brother-sister tag team that fucked Alucard. I think it was Alucard. That was wild.
I feel like we're missing something, dude.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, oh, the flashback sequences.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
So let's do this faded black and white or sepia tone. And to know that it's years earlier, let's make sure Samuel Jackson has a mustache.
Right.
Therefore, he's younger.
Chris Rock also has a mustache.
He has a goatee.
He has a goatee, which is accurate. God.
You couldn't have him come in with a grown goatee and like shoot that scene first and then shave it off. That was a horrible goatee.
And he had his hat backwards.
So he's young.
So you know he's young.
And he comes in, and again, it was
greetings,
like,
fellow kids.
It was like Saturday Night Live, dude. He comes in, he's all, oh, what happened? Oh, what happened? I was like, dude, what the fuck? Did they not, like,
did y'all not prep for this scene?
Tell him to do it again. Like, that fucking didn't work out, man. But no one could, he's an executive producer and he's Chris Rock. He's the whole reason they're even
Chris
making
Rock,
this
Chris
shit
Rock's
again.
Like, we're done. No, we're done. We're done here.
This is it. That was perfect.
It's like, nah, Sam's only got like a couple hours. We got to make this happen.
Also, it's like, someone didn't tell him like, look, they just tried to do this again in 2017 and it failed. Oh, that doesn't matter. We're going to do something new. We're going to do something. It's like, no, we just tried this.
Yeah.
They tried
to do the reimagining with Jigsaw and it didn't work.
Wait,
let's do the reimagining without Jigsaw.
But hold on, Mr. Rock. Are you saying we're gonna do it all? We're gonna do it all better. But are we gonna put the hacksaw scene? Yeah, but we're gonna do it better. Are you sure,
bro? I'm pretty sure we did Jigsaw.
Yeah, we're gonna do it better.
If you did Jiggly, we should do that movie.
We should do Jiggly.
Yeah. Jigsaw was right before I came on the show.
I could have sworn we did it.
What a goddamn disappointment. I don't even know what I was appointed for.
I didn't think it would be an embarrassment.
But
like that.
Exactly.
I was
dude.
Hopeful. I was like, just give me some torture porn. That's all I really want. And it wasn't even fulfilling.
As soon as I you know, because I know you don't watch trailers. When I saw that trailer of him scowling like that, I'm like, that's a tough sell right now.
Yeah.
Like if he's doing that the whole movie, and sure, he does it the whole fucking movie when he's not being wide-eyed and goofy.
Yep.
And that really makes it even worse. Cause like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Yeah. You gotta like,
it's a horrible like duality of personality.
Yeah.
Or,
and I like, here's the thing. I've just seen better days for Alex the Lion from Madagascar. You know, I've seen much better days.
Yeah.
For
this
him.
Place is cracker lacking.
Is that what he says?
No, he says crack-a-lackin', but my mom thought he said cracker lackin', like lacking in white people because it was, you know, Madagascar.
That's a mistake that a white woman.
An old white bitch would make. My mom.
I didn't want to say that.
An old W.
I said a white female member of the species.
That happens to be.
And we shouldn't say female anymore either. That you can't say female.
Did you know that? Been canceled?
You didn't know. Look it up.
I didn't get the memo on that.
You're supposed to say woman and man, not female and male. Because look it up.
Is that for real? That's dumb.
It's hard for me to understand. I'm not gonna lie.
Everything is hard for me to understand.
I'm dumb. What else are we missing?
I literally almost Googled today, why can't I follow movie plots? I have no idea why. I'm watching Castlevania and Ollie is talking about like how deep and complex the story is. I'm like, I have no fucking idea.
Sure, y'all just show me tits.
I have no clue what's happening.
Show me some balls. That's all I want.
Where the nuts at?
What about?
Give me all the nuts.
What about the scenario at the very end with Sam Jackson and Chris Rock? Did you feel like it was going to end where it did? Because when it ended, I was like, oh my God, it just got even worse.
He's all, no!
I think that's like an homage to the first one. Because, you know, we're like...
But it just doesn't... It's abrupt. It's like...
Dude, it sucks. It's so bad. And then, like, the whole killing of Samuel L. Jackson doesn't make any fucking sense. I did like that he was strung up like a puppet, but that was a little fucking cute.
Yeah, but you got to come up with a better reason and way to get there.
Well, and then the whole deal is like... Okay, so... spoiler alert. The whole deal is that at the end, you know, you're going to help me... catch corrupt cops.
Which makes no fucking sense either.
So the only way for you to do this is to save your dad, right? Yep.
And you're gonna help me catch corrupt cops by setting up fucked up traps like Jigsaw. That doesn't make sense either.
And so
he's But then he did what he wanted, but he couldn't even save his fucking dad because he trapped the room where it's like if somebody comes in, Samuel Jackson gets strung right back up.
Right, so then basically, so at the end of the day, Chris Rock's character doesn't have a redemption arc, really, nope. Because
he's too much of a fucking daddy's boy, and it's garbage.
You know what he does have? A setup for a sequel and a reason for revenge.
Well, Chris Rock has a reason for revenge, but what, like, the sequel they're setting up is that, like, oh, this is going to be, like, the anti-buddy cop movie, and what...
Well, I'm assuming now the killer...
The deal's off.
The killer is going to have to, like... not go back to work. I'd imagine he can't really just show up on Monday and be like, oh yeah, sorry about
saw dudes.
Sorry about killing
I
your
totally
dad.
Wasn't dead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, saw dudes.
And then did you notice when the movie started the soundtrack?
Actually I did. I made the comment that it felt like the whole movie was just an excuse to play really loud, shitty music.
It was an excuse to play whatever is on Chris Rock's fucking Spotify. Again, I'm real. Like, he told them to play this song. Like, when I'm walking to the car through the fucking thing, this can go here. That doesn't go there.
Yeah, dude, there's no way these writers would have picked that song for that scene.
It's fucking everything about it.
It's absurd bullshit is what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, the movie can...
Yeah, and the fact that he's, like, a cop who, like, works outside the law, but he also, like... rats out corrupt cops, like...
Oh, yeah, see, yeah,
I'm pretty
exactly.
sure that's, like, the definition of irony, isn't it?
Well, he didn't understand... This cop, apparently, his moral fiber is so strong that he rats out corrupt cops, but his own ethics are fucked.
Yeah, he'll go above and beyond the fucking, you know...
It's like, those ethics matter, but these don't.
Yeah, and this guy's scum, so it's okay if I pull a gun on him and his girl and rob them, and it's like...
Well, that's the movie misunderstanding. And that's the thing. There you go. The fact that it's trying to tackle a big issue that's also topical in such a tone deaf and ham fisted way means it's also makes it even worse because it's fucking like you should go nowhere near that if you don't even understand the fucking topic.
Yeah.
It doesn't even understand ethics like at all.
Yeah. It's a movie about corrupt police written by two white people.
It's like that fucking scene in Billy Madison where he's like... He's trying to fucking
explain. I award
explain
you
ethics.
No points, and may God have mercy on your soul. That's totally, exactly
man.
How
we're
I
all
felt.
A little bit dumber for having watched Spiral
yeah, man.
From the
I,
Book of Saw.
Dude,
Sophia's like, is there like a? It seems like there's something at the end of the credits.
There was not. I stayed because you guys both said you couldn't stay till the end, and I stayed.
I just could not. I had to leave
to those fucking awful songs they played over the credits. I
Back
sat
off,
there till the
we'll
end.
Take you on.
I wish they would have played Headstrong. Headstrong would have been way better than any of that crap they played.
Yeah, dude. It's.
There's no stinger.
It's almost like this movie was tailored created in a fucking lab somewhere to hit all the worst fucking points.
This feels like the reject that they're throwing out while they're trying to build a super soldier. You know what I mean?
Like me.
Yeah, they create it in a lab.
It's like me as a soft film.
This one's not exactly what we're looking for. Or there being like one thing in this movie where I'm like, damn, that's kind of cool. But like the rest of it outshadowed that one cool thing. And I can't even remember what that one fucking cool thing was.
And it was the saw voice?
No.
No, it wasn't the saw voice.
Was it the little pig puppet?
Would you like to play a game? He's like, hey, buddy, hope you find your dad. Oh, by the way, I want to play a game.
That would have been wouldn't kind you of like better to that
play? Just lean into it even Hello. More.
It's just a fucking narwhal.
Hello, detective. Would you like to play a game?
Dude, you're pretty good on that. You should sign up for that voice site. That's good.
Hello. Would you...
Hey, you want to be in a major motion picture, boy?
I'm going to get under your skin.
Get it under the skin. You can lock him up and throw away the key forever.
You can lock him up and throw away the key.
Dude,
throw
away.
You know what he sounds like? Hey, you remember can? Super Jail, the fucking twins?
Yep, yep. That's good, he does.
That boy good.
Oh, I miss that now. Super Jail's way better than this shitty movie.
Yeah,
wait,
man.
Have you ever seen Super Jail?
Yeah, you showed me one episode.
Oh, it's
that's a good
show. I have HBO Max, so I could watch the rest of
is
it.
Is it on HBO Max?
Yeah. Adult Swim's like...
I think they just made a new Adventure Time movie too.
I heard about that. I think you're right.
I'm gonna watch that. I think I got some Steven.
You should watch Primal. I mentioned Primal. You guys would like that.
All right, idiots. Well, that don't watch Spiral. Do yourself.
I wouldn't even say to watch it till fuck that movie.
Steer way clear.
Yeah, somebody asked me today if it was worth even watching it for free, and I
disagree. Honestly, if somebody
I don't say this often because I don't feel this way, but it's an hour and a half, and it's like you only have so many hours to live.
Yeah, if like, somebody came to me movie. And was like, I'll give you the $23 you spent to reactivate your AMC A-list if you watch this movie again. I'd be like, nah, fam.
I will do some dumb shit and watch a lot of hours of stuff. I will not be revisiting any of the Saw movies anytime soon to get a better perspective.
I might watch the first one again just thing. To get the even bad the good taste ones out of my mouth. Thing. But
hey, did you know that there was an additional 2 seasons of Super Jail? There's 4 seasons total.
No, when did those other 2 seasons
come
out?
There's 4 seasons total. Wait, there's 4.
There's 4 seasons total.
Hello,
are you still recording?
Hello, detective. I lost it. I am still recording, you son of a bitch.
God damn.
Hey, detective. Like there's 2 more seasons of Super Jail.
So that wraps up our serial killer month.
Big silly. It does. And unfortunately, only...
I don't know. I'm 3 for 4 on serial killer.
I'm 3 from 4.
And a half movies were good.
This movie sucked the ass. It sucked all of the
this
shit out of the
this
ass.
Minus is any goodwill I had from fucking Behind the Mask, dude. Yeah. This shit is negative bad.
You're like, I hate this so much. Now I hate Behind the Mask for being associated in the same month as this movie.
Because Behind the Mask postulates a world in which that movie exists.
This will be fun. What was your favorite of the films we did this month, Jorge?
I actually want to say Henry.
Okay. How about you, Matt?
Probably same. I love Behind the Mask, but a little bit of the charm has worn off over the last 15 years.
I say favorite because I'm using the word specific. I mean, hands down.
Opera. You bought the shirt.
I fucking like that a lot. I loved
it. I liked it quite a bit. There's it's a little too long and slow for me to be my favorite of the ones, but fucking Zombie Month should be pretty good.
I think that with the stuff that we picked for Zombie Month was kind of tailor picked to be better.
It's a good range. This was a good range though stuff, and we did some stuff that's a little more off the
beaten path. Although the back to back viewings of Spiral and Army of the Dead, I'm not very much looking forward to.
That's gonna be rough. And meanwhile, while this goes on, we're gonna have the release of The Conjuring 3 and A Quiet Place Part 2. So I don't know if we're planning on doing an episode on Quiet Place Part 2 ever or what, but
I feel like we should.
I'm definitely going to see Quiet Place Part 2 next
week.
Yeah.
We can just make it first next month.
I was watching the trailer for that. That looked pretty good.
I don't know if The Conjuring will be worth an episode.
Oh, I don't know either. But I think it'll be roughly 10 times better than this movie.
I really don't want to have to wheel out the veto again, but I feel like I'm being pushed to the point where I have to.
No, you're not.
And you're about to break.
A Quiet Place Part 2, I would fight for.
I would watch it. That actually looks pretty cool. I'm curious.
I can't like wait to watch something well done.
I feel like it's going to go a little too Walking Dead. I feel like it's going to
with the human thing and all
I think
that.
It's going to be more The Last of Us.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
To give an idea of what to anticipate, you know the raptor scene in Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
They said it's like that for about an hour.
So
it's a lot of sneaking?
It's a lot of sneaking. And I'm actually kind of really down for that.
There's already more dialogue in the trailer. Especially after this
piece of shit that we watched that had zero tension.
Yeah, so Zombie Month, we've got Army of the Dead. Then we've got 28 days/weeks later. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Lucio Fulci's Zombie. And then we've got Wreck/that Wreck remake that was not.
It's a weird. Good. It's a weird mix of stuff because so 28 days, 28 weeks is like, you know, first sequel.
Yeah,
Zombie is a fucking just an oddball movie.
Yeah,
and then we're doing a Spanish movie plus the U.S. remake. So it's kind of all over the place. Yeah. I like it.
And we're doing like two straight up zombie and arguably two infected. Because 28 days later, they're not zombies. They got a virus called the Rage.
That was the game changer. And all the zombie, not all the zombie films, but it upped the game. Zombies moved faster after that. They were more aggressive. When Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake came out afterwards, it was definitely inspired.
2004, yeah.
It was definitely inspired by more aggressive, faster zombies.
Oh boy, we got Zack Snyder coming up next week.
Yeah, I gotta say nothing.
All right,
because I watched that thing.
That's episode 310.
Yep.
For the Who Goes There podcast.
You know what next week is?
We hope you
311.
I said Amelia. Whatever the background is saying, I suck a dick.
Suck a dick?
Sorry, it'll probably sound better than it looked.
Or something. It looked.
Yeah, didn't you look at me when that happened?
No.
Oh, good.
What are you doing?
I was imagining you looking at me. I felt your judgment. And yeah, I didn't like it.
It was radiating. He didn't even have to look at you.
I didn't have to say anything.
That's why I actually kind of relate to S.A. Martinez, because you can tell he's a little self-conscious up there.
He is, because he doesn't have the skills that
Nick Hexum does.
Right. I feel that, and he's also like 5 foot tall.
Yeah, no, but in all seriousness, though, neither one of the vocalists have the skills of the other guys in the band.
That's true.
That's fucking definitely true. It's like they got Silver Surfer and like Doctor Strange and then like some fucking punk ass like just fronting their band.
Which one's the punk ass though?
They kind of both are.
Yeah, both of them. Both
he's like of Nick them. Hexum.
Like, well, yeah. Happy 311, everybody. Yeah. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Don't forget to watch Matt on Twitch. Yeah. Bye.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.